When Insecure premiered on HBO back in 2016, Issa Dee, Molly Carter, and the rest of their cohort were a bunch of millennials who, to put it mildly, didn't have their stuff together. They were stuck in unhappy relationships, jobs, and/or friendships, and didn't have a clue how to make better choices for themselves. After five hella messy seasons, we're bidding farewell to Insecure. Only now, these characters have finally seen growth. But how much growth has there been, really? I'm Aisha Harris, and today we're talking about Insecure, including the series finale on Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. Joining us today are the hosts of the podcast For Colored Nerds, Brittany Luce and Eric Eddings. Hello to you both.
Hey, hey, hey.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
And also joining us is film and culture critic Kate Young. Welcome, Kate.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
Yes, me too, because I have a lot of thoughts. I'm sure you all have a lot of thoughts. But first, in case it's been some time since you tuned into Insecure, here's a brief refresher. Issa Dee, played by the show's co-creator Issa Rae, is an extremely awkward millennial living in L.A. Over the course of the series, she struggled to find a meaningful career path, experienced a very bad breakup with Lawrence, her live-in boyfriend of 5 years, who's played by Jay Ellis, and had multiple arguments and falling outs with her bestie, Molly, who's played by Yvonne Orji. Now, in the fifth and final season, Issa's still very awkward, but circumstances and attitudes for all the characters are drastically different from where they started. Issa's finding success as an event coordinator and has rekindled a romance with Nathan, who's played by Kendrick Sampson. She and Molly have finally worked through their differences, and Molly's found her footing at her law firm after an awkward start in the previous seasons. Lawrence has sorted out his career and is now trying to make co-parenting work with his ex, Condola, played by Christina Elmore. And Issa and Molly's friend group is rounded out by Kelly, who's played by Natasha Rothwell, and Tiffany, played by Amanda Seals. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we are definitely going to be discussing the series finale and season 5 more generally, so if you're not caught up yet, consider this your final warning to hold off on listening for now. All right, let's get into this. Kate, let me start with you. What are your initial reactions to the finale and the season overall?
I think season 5 is a really good encapsulation of what the show had always set out to be. It was hampered by the fact that season 4 came out at such a contentious time, and I think feelings were very high about it. Plus, it was an excellent season. And so it almost feels like there was no way that season 5 could live up to how well received that was. But I also think that season 5 manages to tie up a lot of loose storylines in a way that feels satisfying, even as so much narrative thread is kind of being pulled all at the same time in what feels like not enough time. I mean, these are 20-minute episodes. We are always kind of left wanting more, and I think that that is still true of the finale. But I feel secure in my knowledge that these characters will be okay, which was always the goal.
Yeah. Brittany, how about you? How are you feeling about this whole series, this ending, and where we leave these characters?
I think that overall, season 5, many episodes, I think, represented the things that people love the most about the show. I know that there was some discussion online, offline, about how people felt about the pacing and worrying whether or not things would get wrapped up by the end of the series. But I'll say, having seen the final episode, the relationship that I always had the most investment in leaves on a very beautiful note. And that's the relationship between Issa and Molly.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's my thing, is that, like, when I really think about who the show is really about, unlike Sex and the City or even a show like Girls or Girlfriends, where the show is kind of about a group, Insecure is kind of like a group, but it's very obvious that, like, Tiffany and Kelly are sort of secondary characters to Molly and Issa. To me, it is very clear that Nathan and Lawrence, Issa's main love interests, are secondary characters to Molly and Issa. And I feel like, actually, for me, even though there were a lot of different emotional, very emotional moments and conversations in the final episode, the one that I actually felt that felt the truest and that made me feel the most satisfied was between Issa and Molly.
For loving me while I was me. And girl, I don't know where life is gonna take us, but I just know that as long as you're around, I'm gonna be okay.
And when I look back on season 5, it's actually their relationship that probably gave me the most satisfaction this season. And when I think about how the show was originally set up, the two characters that dominated the most conversation and felt the most fully realized in that first episode, it was Molly and Issa. So it's like they're together at the beginning, they're together at the end. And in that sense, I felt like season five, I felt like them as individuals and that their friendship, and also Molly's relationship with Torian, I'll say, I felt like all those things were going to be good in the future.
Nice, nice. Eric, how about you?
I think I've always had very complex feelings about Insecure, about this show. Like, I've always loved it. But, you know, sometimes in the way you love a sibling, like a really good friend, you know, where it's like, I want you to do better, but like, I'm gonna be here regardless.
Oh, so like Molly and Issa then.
I think coming into this season, I think I was a little surprised, but appreciative at how important closure seemed to the writers and to kind of everyone involved. To everybody's point, like, you did really feel like from the beginning that they knew this was the end and that they were trying to kind of prepare everyone for that. I think no matter what your kind of vantage point or feeling about the show or about characters in the show, there's something for you like in this final season and even in like the final episode. And so for that, I think I really appreciate it. I think they did what they could do to wrap this up in a way that makes everyone feel good. When the credits popped up, I was like, wow, it's really over. It's been a ride.
Yeah.
And like, I was thinking about how like things played out, but I also was just like, man, I wonder what happens next. Because this has been such a part of our lives for so long.
Yeah. I literally said, that's it, when the credits rolled. But I do think that it ended at the right spot. And as to what Brittany was saying, like, I think that they went to great pains to kind of show that Molly and Issa really is a central relationship, which is essentially what Issa said to me in the roundtable that I did for Vulture. Mm. I asked, you know, who's the OTP on the show? And she said, it's Molly and Issa. It has nothing to do with these boys. and I think that's very well reflected in the finale.
Interesting, because I actually feel like it was not well reflected. Mm. I'm glad that you sort of made that comparison to Sex and the City, Brittany, or like to Girlfriends, because I agree. For me, the only will they or won't they that I cared about was Molly and Issa. Mm-hmm. And their sort of tension and their falling out and falling back in and then falling out again was the most compelling aspect of it for me. And this season, I don't feel as though, like, obviously by the end of season four, they had kind of wrapped things up. And in the early episodes of season five, it was clear, like, okay, they're good now. They're good. And so then for me, the fact that we were now going to focus back on Lawrence and Issa and whether or not they will get back together, it just kind of deflated it for me. And I was like, I thought we were done with Lawrence. I thought, for me, the moment when she's like, sorry, I can't do this, you know, this baby that you have on the way, I don't, that's not what I'm looking for in my life.
Lawrence, I had a chance to think and,
I know.
To me, that was such a great moment of maturity, and I was glad that she was able to say that. And then for it to end up being, I don't want to say settled, but like, I wanted more for Issa. And look, there's going to be plenty of people, I'm sure, who are like, you know, who feel differently about that. And it felt so much like Sex and the City in that way, where it's like, basically, that was her big, and I didn't necessarily want that to be the focus up to the very last moment of the show.
You know, to your point, Aisha, about Issa, because Molly did not settle. Molly got the brass ring.
And I don't mean to say that Issa settled. I just think it seemed clear to me early on that that wasn't what she wanted. And the fact that she's always indecisive, I was like, girl, just stick by what you said at the beginning.
We're on the same page. Don't worry. We're on the same page. We're 100% on the same page. I think what bothered me about the way that things ended with Issa and Lawrence was that it was very clear in so many other areas of Issa's life that she had like done some like digging in to kind of like learn a hard lesson and to make better decisions going forward and take bigger steps and trust herself more. You see that in pretty much every area, from her career to her friendships. She had made all these changes that weren't necessarily easy. And I was kind of disappointed to see that like Lawrence, I think, hadn't changed as much. I had seen him really grow into the role of father, but still there was so much left unfinished to me as far as his relationship to Condola and where that stood. Obviously, they had learned to co-parent better, but I felt like I wish I had a little bit more clarity on his availability for a relationship before he and Issa got back together for real. But interestingly enough, the person who had grown enough was actually Molly. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like seeing her, the little seeds that they gave us of she and Torian's relationship as it developed throughout season five, when they got married in the end, I was like, oh, that makes total sense. You know, I was like, oh, like they've really built this unique and interesting bond. And, you know, when Molly has that birthday party and, you know, you see her really receiving love and kind of showing up as her true self and Issa encouraging her to embrace that, seeing them together in those moments, I was like, oh, that for me was what was emotionally satisfying. And I just feel like I had not been shown that Laurent had grown to the point where he would be the sort of person that I felt like end of season five Issa, you know, would have been a good match for that person.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Like, in order to justify the ending, and like, I know it's going to seem like the wrong interpretation of what the fix for this is, but there needed to actually be more Laurent in order to actually feel okay about
that.
Yeah, I agree.
And I just don't feel like we got that. And like, so when he was there at the end, like, I like Laurent. And I was just like, I don't know. I like Laurent. I support co-parent. I co-parent myself. I was just like, but something wasn't right. And it was because they didn't quite give us enough to make that feel completely earned.
Yeah, for me, the issue with the Issa Laurent relationship is that we never really get to see them happy. Mm-hmm. So there's nothing really for us to root for. When we first meet them in season one, they're already on the outs. They break up. They fall apart. And then, like, when we get to season four and they're reconnected and they have this great episode in season four, episode eight, Loki happy, and they go on this great date and they finally get back together. Like, it's the first time we've ever actually seen them be happy together in a relationship. Mm. And then two episodes later, they're done. Mm-hmm. So we don't get the opportunity to kind of see what it is they are fighting for it together. We don't, like, they know what it is, but we don't know what it is. They make it clear, at least on Issa's part, that the reason she's willing to jump in again is because of the growth that she's done. Like, in that conversation at the Block's new spot, he says something to the effect of,
"So do you believe it'll work out?"
"I'm okay with finding out."
And that's when they restart their relationship. And to me, that's the whole thesis of the show. It's like, we don't know what's coming next. And like, it might suck, but we're never going to find out unless we try.
That was a great monologue. Mm. Well, I want to ask you all, though, what do you think is the legacy of the show? And I realize we talk about legacy and it's a very loaded question. But what is the one thing that you will take away from this show?
For what it's worth, I think legacy was the right word. The thing is, I actually think this show, you know, as frustrated as I kind of have been at points this season, we weren't talking about a prestige Black ensemble comedy featuring young folks. Like, that's just not something we were talking about before the show came out.
Yeah.
And like, you know, yesterday I watched a show called Grand Crew on NBC. And it's just like a really fun, kind of pure sitcom about like Black friends living in L.A. There's no world where that show exists unless Insecure has become what it has. Mm-hmm. And, you know, has it been what we always wanted? No. But, like, it's the thing I can talk about with my friends that everybody has an opinion. And you see the best parts and the worst parts of yourself in so many of the characters. And, like, I get so much value from that. And so, you know, there was a long time where, like, Prentice Penny doesn't know me, but there was a long time I had a vendetta against him for some of the choices that he was making in his show.
And just to note, Prentice Penny is the showrunner of Insecure.
Yes. And like, you know, I'm now like, Prentice, I appreciate you. You did that. I'm so glad. And so, yeah, I'm sad to see it go.
It's funny that you mentioned Grand Crew. Grand Crew was created by this TV writer, Phil Augusta Jackson, who I've been following for a few years. Mm. He wrote for Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I think, for a long time. Mm-hmm. But he also wrote for season four of Insecure.
There you go. Yeah.
But the thing about I liked about Insecure is that Insecure did not try to reupholster the romantic comedy genre or sort of like the young girl in the city, you know, figuring life out genre. They didn't try to, you know, reinvent the wheel. But they found so many touch points that angered people, that excited people, that made us laugh, gave us things to talk about. It kind of gave us our water cooler.
Yeah.
Even people I know who don't even always keep up with the show would know the important plot points because they'd be discussed on Twitter.
White people know they got to stay up.
And then they start a whole conversation.
And they have HBO, so.
Exactly. But yeah, to have, you know, that little like bit of fun every Sunday night for the past like, you know, 6 years or 5 years. It's been really fun. And I'm hoping that there are going to be more shows like it. Like, but there is something about that confection romantic comedy show that everybody loves and you always need, you know, whether for comfort or for pleasure or just for the craft of it. Like, you know, you're making all these comparisons to Sex and the City, Aisha, and we all know what you're talking about. Yeah. Because even though Sex and the City wasn't The Sopranos, it defined that genre and it made something that touched all of us either out of anger, frustration, or, you know, just remembering what it was like to sort of like be young and have fun and fall in love. So Issa's impact on the industry has been incredible. Yeah. The amount of chances that she's given so many young Black people who wanted to direct or write or act or produce or manage is immeasurable. I don't think we're going to know for decades, like just how much she's put people on. But yeah, Insecure has been an amazing vehicle and it's been so much fun to grow with these characters, sometimes grow past these characters. But yeah, I'm going to miss the show. And now I'm like, dang, I'm like, Succession is off, Insecure is over. What the hell are we going to do now?
Kate, what are you going to take away?
You know, to Brittany's point about Sex and the City, I think Insecure is a singular generational highlight. I think it is definitely not a perfect show. I think that we can all, you know, list our critiques, but I think its place in the industry, the things that it has spawned, not just as an influence, but also as a weight that Issa Rae herself has been able to accumulate and redistribute power within Hollywood, is honestly incredible to see. I think this all started with a YouTube series that she made for like pennies. It is something that was collaborative and involved working with all these people who are all also trying to make their way into the industry. And I think that that mindset has followed her as she has become more legitimized in that way. And like, there's just so many things that she now has like tentacles in and fingers in, and so many things that are now spun out of her influence, so many creators who have been able to kind of hone their own style through working with her. And all of those people are now working professionals who can go on to influence their own things. I think that she is going to be someone who will eventually be recognized as the real generational talent that she is. I think that all of the different ways in which, because like Insecure has a podcast, it has these great soundtracks that come out every season. Like, she's figuring out ways to integrate all parts of different Black cultures and to bring them into this one thing that she's making, so that when it's over, like it is about to be, all of these people can say, like, this is the thing that we were part of. And it reminds me of Beyoncé's Homecoming in that way, where it's like anyone who was on that stage that night gets to say that they were on stage that night. And like, that's something that no one can take from them, and that will be a calling card forever. And she has made this production and her involvement in this production both a cultural staple and like deeply rooted in her community, both in LA and in the industry. It's exciting to me to see her growth, and I am very excited for who will be next in the line of her succession.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. I think the biggest thing I will take away is the fact, as Kate mentioned, like, this came out of Awkward Black Girl, her YouTube series, her web series. And as someone who is also awkward, I saw so much of myself in it. And it was great to see this Black protagonist, this woman who really didn't have it together, and not in a quirky, like, oh, it's so cute kind of way, but in like an actual, no, you need to figure this out. And I think what the show did a really good job of is it's all of these millennials who are figuring out that their expectations of what life would be are not what reality is. I think of not just Issa and her really unfulfilling job at We Got Y'all, but I also think of how both Lawrence and Molly were like, I saw my parents And I thought that I would be at this point married, have kids, and we'd be together for 30, 40 years. I thought that's what that would be. And Molly realizing, you know, my dad cheated on my mom once. And like that realization, all those moments to me are like, what makes this so special is the way in which they really shatter this myth of like Black excellence and what that should be and what that could be. It's like, no, it's messy. And like, what is Black excellence anyway? Like, it's not necessarily 2.5 kids in a house in this nice. I mean, obviously, Tiffany.
She's living a dream. She is her ancestor's wildest dream.
She's living the dream.
I mean, she hates it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Even that dream was punctured several times. So I appreciate that this show had so many layers. And even though it wasn't perfect, like, it has changed the game. I think it's safe to say that we have all been changed by it, and Hollywood has been changed by it. And we could all sit here and talk about this forever. But we want to know what you think about Insecure. You can find us at facebook.com/PCHH and on Twitter at PCHH. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thanks to you all for being here. I'm so glad we got to chat about this. And yeah, it's been fun.
It's been real fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. If you have a second and you're so inclined, please subscribe to our newsletter at npr.org/popculturenewsletter. We'll see you all tomorrow when we'll be talking about the Netflix film, Don't Look Up.